The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
All right, gosh, you're busy on the text 51551, but I want to go to our friend, historian Donal Fallon. Good morning, Donal.
Hi, Orion. How are you?
Happy Halloween. I mean, we don't really say that, but I'll say it anyway.
I think we're about to have the first discussion of Dracula and Halloween that was ever preceded by Pharrell Williams Happy, but it was great. Well, I really enjoyed it.
We consider ourselves the practitioners of the art of light and shade.
Absolutely.
And that brings us neatly to you've been hanging out in graveyards, which to me makes you a bit weird, but also makes you very charming and interesting.
Isn't it the weekend for it, though?
Isn't it, say, though? You know? Come on, talk to me. What have you been up to?
You know, I think on one level, when we think about Halloween, as you say, it's synonymous with, you know, American popular culture. So, you know, candy, bobbing for apples, outlandishly decorated house. Now, there seems to be a lot of that going on here this year, which I really like. Mm. I think people are trying to lift the mood. But, you know, the origins of Halloween, I would say, are very much rooted in, you know, the Irish past. And this weekend, we have a festival honouring Bram Stoker, the author of Dracula, of course, born in Dublin, shaped by Sligo, and the man who maybe more than anyone has shaped our kind of image of ghosts and ghouls and Halloween. So I suppose that's what we're talking about this morning. And I would say, you know, to my mind, I think more than any other Irish writer, he had an enormous impact on popular culture. I can hear listeners shouting at the radio, what about James Joyce? Mm. What about Ulysses? Mm. They might be more critically acclaimed, but when it comes to pop culture, you know, Dracula is unmatched. It's been parodied from The Muppets to Carry On. It's been bootlegged by Nosferatu. And, you know, it's in everyone's driveway across the United States this weekend with Halloween.
So why Mount Jerome Cemetery then?
For me, I mean, Mount Jerome Cemetery, just up the road from where I am, is the great kind of Victorian Gothic cemetery of Dublin. It's where Joseph Sheridan Le Fanu, who paved the way for Stoker, is buried. Beautiful headstone. The invisible prince, writer of ghost stories, Joseph Sheridan Le Fanu, buried here. It's where Bram Stoker's mother, who really shaped him, and to me, she is one of the building blocks of Dracula, where she is buried. And crucially, as our listeners should be following the rules, it's within my 5km. It's just down the street. So for me, in lockdown two, and in lockdown one earlier, that really was the place that got me thinking about this time of year.
As you say, the impact of Dracula on popular culture was absolutely a knockout. But much like It's a Wonderful Life, I shoehorned that reference in there for no reason. It was one of those remarkable classic evergreens, if you want to call it that. Got a mixed review on release.
It was kind of panned when it came out, which is surprising. And I think people didn't like it because they thought it was a bit too modern, the way he was writing, you know, the train journeys, the diaries, all of that. The Spectator in England gave it a really bad review, like just a shockingly bad review. They said, Mr. Stoker has shown considerable ability in the use that he has made of all available traditions of vampirology. There's a great word, vampirology. But we think his story would have been all the more effective if he'd chosen an earlier period. But, you know, I think, you know, never judge a book by its cover. That's a familiar one for everyone. But also never judge a book by its movie. You know, don't judge Dracula by the pop culture that it spawned later on. I think go back and read the book itself. And you get a real sense from that book. Stoker was a man who worked in the theatre for many years. I think he wrote Dracula, envisioning a future life for it, if you will, off the page. But the fact it's so modern, to me, is one of the things that makes it so enduring. No one can name the earlier Irish vampire tales. You know, Le Fanu wrote Carmilla 25 years before Dracula. It's faded into total obscurity. There's a reason, I think, that Dracula, quite fittingly, has kind of refused to die.
Yeah, of course, indeed. Yeah. But all the neck biting and the teeth, and, you know, it was kind of edgy, wasn't it? Veering in towards the erotic.
Very much so. Yeah, I mean, Carmilla by Le Fanu was about a lesbian vampire, so it was barely out there too, 25 years before Dracula. But definitely, Dracula ticked all the boxes. You know, the fear of illness. Dracula himself, of course, is this kind of unusual, exotic immigrant foreigner. They talk about how, you know, Stoker may have been even shaped by the contemporary discourse in Ireland at that time. He was very much a home ruler. Parnell was being presented in the British press as a vampire, you know, on the front of Punch magazine, absentee landlords, big houses, all of that was going on here. So within that book, there's a lot of the contemporary world. You know, Stoker, I think, was very, very shaped by this place. And I think you can find Ireland without digging too hard in the pages of Dracula.
And why do we bother with a bonfire on Halloween?
Yeah, in the broader sense, I mean, Halloween to me is deeply, deeply rooted in Irish folklore. It's rooted in Samhain, that great festival described brilliantly in one 10th century text as when the summer went to rest. And, you know, as far as the Celts were concerned, Samhain was the beginning of the new year. It was a weird kind of between time, you might say, when mortals could kind of visit the world of the dead and vice versa. And some of their things made it true into Christian Ireland. So the bonfires, they thought, had kind of protective and cleansing powers. And that's probably one custom that, you know, some people, I'm thinking particularly of Dublin Fire Brigade, would like to see vanish. But another lingering thing from Samhain was this great tradition they called mumming.
Yeah.
And mumming basically was going house to house, dressed in costume. The Americans have bestowed the name trick or treat on that one. But, you know, the name Halloween definitely comes from Hallow's Eve and Christian things that came later. But the ritual, you know, to me, the ritual of the bonfire, of the trick-or-treating, of the pumpkin, all of that, I think, has its origins in the earlier pagan festival of Samhain. And it's kind of funny how much pagan stuff, how much pagan ritual survived in Ireland. I mean, they say that the snakes Patrick chased from Ireland, because, you know our climate, God help any snakes here, but they're a metaphor for paganism. But I don't know how well Patrick did driving paganism out of Ireland, considering we're still celebrating Samhain.
Yeah, I'm thinking of paraphrasing, like, pagans have more fun.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little darkness there, isn't there? You know, it's a little less of the Catholic guilt, Donald, you know.
Yeah. But I don't think it's coincidental that when you look at the Americans really go all out on Halloween. I mean, I think it's something we can claim, not only that Halloween has its origins in Ireland, but that the widespread celebration of the day in America owes something to European migration. I mean, the Irish and the Scottish loved Samhain. And look where they celebrated in the States, especially strong on the East Coast, where those people settled. So much of American popular culture is shaped by her immigrant history, her Germans, her Poles, her Scottish, and of course, her Irish migrants. But the Americans have turned it into something just totally different, you know, from what it was here.
Yes.
And it's amazing how far back that even goes. I mean, the mass-produced Halloween costumes in America have been a feature of life since the 1930s.
Yeah, amazing.
Ben Cooper, I remember wearing a black bin bag to school in the 1990s, as I'm sure many listeners
yes,
did too.
Yes.
The Americans have had a crass commercial Halloween since the days of the Great Depression. Isn't that in itself absolutely remarkable? And Dracula has always been one of those, you know, pop culture American costumes.
What figure in history, in any period of any time, from any part of the world, would you like to dress up as tomorrow night, Donal?
I'm not going to say a plague doctor. I think I've seen a few people in America
Yeah.
as plague doctors this year. I think we should keep the past and the present very much separate.
So who are you going to go for?
I always enjoyed Halloween in school. I went to a Gaelic school and we always got into the historical figures and the like. I think I did Brian Boru on one occasion, and there were a couple of Vikings in the class as well. But it's I like when people draw on legend and history on Halloween.
Definitely, because I have Alexander Hamilton in my car a lot due to influences from children at the moment. I mean young women, but anyway, I'm thinking Alexander Hamilton. I mean, yes. What the hell has it come to? It's part of the ongoing COVID madness, as you well know.
But just don't let the character take over. You know, I'm thinking of poor Bela Lugosi, the classic the classic big screen Dracula, who was actually buried in his Dracula cape. You know, he became
he took it
Dracula
too far.
In his own mind. They didn't put the stake through the heart, but everything else for poor old Bela Lugosi.
Donald, it's always good to talk to you. And I know that your Three Castles Burning podcast is flying, and you're doing a special for the Bram Stoker Festival for people who can walk around. What a lovely idea, walk around and
it's really nice, you know, that we can take a festival that normally you have to come to Dublin to partake in. This year, like the Bram Stoker Festival, it's not even national, it's international. You can tune into it from anywhere in the world. And I think that's really, really nice that, you know, I don't think even Bram Stoker could imagine the terror of Zoom table quizzes. But let us use technology for good.
That is
do
for
get
sure.
involved.
That is for sure. Great to talk to you, Donald. Mind yourselves.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you kindly. Donald Fallon joining us on the programme there. BramStokerFestival.com if you're interested in that, rte.ie/culture. That's another place to go. But I have to say, The interpretation of Bram Stoker, the man that I loved so much, is, and I'll say it again, is Joseph O'Connor's Shadow Play. And the good news for listeners is that it is going to be the Irish, the book on one here on RT, read by Joe himself, which is pretty lovely. And details of that are online as well, rt.ie, you'll find it there. But that'll be a lovely way to spend some time next week. Okay, got a break to take at 9:45.